chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we'll read together, please, from verse number 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And we trust indeed that God will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts this morning. If you cast your mind back to when I was here last month, you will remember that we looked at Philippians chapter 2. And there we considered the subject of the mind of Christ. We were taken up with those verses, those well-known verses from verse 5 to verse 10. And you know those six amazing, well-known verses, in such a very small portion of Scripture, they sum up our Savior. These verses are taken up with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ showing his perfect spirit and example. And if you remember, we saw the Savior in four ways. We considered him as the willing one. We then went on and we thought of him as the wounded one. We considered him as the worthy one, and we finished off thinking of one that should be the worshipped one. You know, we were reminded about the willing one, that one that came, making such a stoop. One rightly said that he laid his former glory by. This willing one, as he was found upon the cross, became the wounded one, the one who indeed was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. This willing one who became the wounded one was indeed the only one that was able to complete the work, as he was the only one found worthy to carry out such a task. You know, surely as we gather again this morning, he indeed should be the center of our thoughts. And I trust ere we part today that another time he will indeed be the worshipped one here today. You know, as we move through our 4 points, you will remember that we particularly focused in on the wounded one. And we found that as we took a closer look at Scripture, we were able to establish that the Savior, he endured 5 different types of wounds in his body. Not only upon the cross, but in the hours that led up to his crucifixion. You know, we remember him and we see the lacerated wound. It was Pilate that took Jesus and scourged him at the start of John 19. And the psalmist reminds us that the pliers ploughed upon my back and they made long their furrows. The lacerated wound. Then we went on to consider the penetrating wound, and we saw there the soldiers as they plaited that crown of thorns and as they placed it upon the Savior's brow. Here we see the thorns of the curse become the thorns of the crown. Then we moved on and we thought about that contused wound. Mark's gospel reminds us in chapter 15 that they smote him on the head with the reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees worshipped him. Again, Isaiah could tell us that his visage was more marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Then we see the perforating wound. As we consider Thomas, and as he could say, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, I will not believe. And then fifthly and finally, we considered that incised wound. That wound which was produced by the spear of that Roman soldier which would allow his life's blood to flow. John 19, 33 and 34 reminds us, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. You know that scarlet line that we follow through Scripture, right from Genesis 3, as we see the animal slain and those coats of skin provided for Adam and Eve ere they're put out of the garden. As we move on to Genesis 22, and there we see Abraham and Isaac, and there as we behold the ram caught in the thicket by the horns. As we move over into Exodus and we see the Passover lamb, and that blood that was caught in the basin and applied to the doorposts and to the upper lintel. We turn over a few more pages and we get into Leviticus, and there we read concerning all these many offerings that were made. Many thousands upon thousands of animals, thousands upon thousands of gallons of blood that were shed. But you know, now as we come into John's Gospel, we see that all of these things in the past, they were only a sign of one that would come. And we see here the blood of the Savior finally shed upon Calvary. And well might the writer to the Hebrews lift his pen in chapter 9 and verse 12, and he says, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, previously in my own time, I have considered the Savior, probably as most of us do from time to time. And as I thought of that one, the one that I have come to know and to love, the one that has given so many titles throughout Scripture. You know, indeed, if we only consider John's Gospel, and even just for a second, very quickly this morning, we can see there seven I Am titles that are given to our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many more throughout the pages of Scripture. But just to look at John's Gospel briefly, we could see there in chapter 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. You turn over a couple of chapters into chapter 8, we see that I am the light of the world. Chapter 10 and verse 7, I am the door. Chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. We see in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally, in the first verse of chapter 15, we see one that is the true vine. You know, as I thought of the Savior, not only as I thought concerning the Savior's wounds, which we considered the last time I was here, but I also was taken up concerning the Savior's walk and the Savior's work. And also what we're going to look at this morning is just the Savior's words. The Savior's words. When I started to consider this, I found that many times throughout the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke for long periods of time. There are long passages when you start in Luke's or Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, right through to chapter 7. I don't think there's a black word on the page if you have a red letter edition of the Word of God. Other times we could read of the Savior. In Luke's Gospel, there are long portions where he brings these parables to us and the lessons that we can learn from them. But you know what fascinated me the most as I looked at this was not those times when the Savior speaks for those long periods. But you know what fascinated me was the fact, have you ever stopped? Have you ever considered, have you ever looked at your Bible on a red letter edition, and have you ever seen that there's maybe a completely black page and there's one word? Maybe two words. Maybe three words. Well, this is what I want to look at with you this morning. You'll remember in our reading this morning, and I just want to lift verse 8 out of our reading. And I just want us this morning to be like those in chapter 24. And I want us to walk out of the door of the church today, and as we head home, I want us just to be able to say, that we have remembered his words. And they remembered his words. You know, just in passing, in Luke 24, the chapter that we read some of this morning, I think you could divide it up into four. From verses 1 to 12, we could consider perplexed hearts. From verses 13 to 35, you could see there discouraged hearts. Verses 36 to 46, we find troubled hearts. And then at the close, from verse 47 to 53, we see joyful hearts. You know, this chapter, this last chapter of Luke's Gospel, it's a chapter of open things. It's strange, actually, as I stand here this morning, just as we're coming out of lockdown, that we come and we speak from a chapter about open things. Hadn't even thought of it till now, but listen, as we read through the 53 verses of this chapter, we can see the word opened only appears three times, but yet there are seven things that are opened. If you drop your eye down, you'll see in verse 2, the open tomb. That would remind us of resurrection. On down, the open scriptures in verse 27 reminds us of communication. Their open eyes in verse 31, there's illumination. The open wounds in verse 39, there's revelation. Open understanding in verse 45 reminds us of comprehension. The open heaven in verse 51, we see ascension. And then at the close, the open mouths in verse 53. That would remind us this morning concerning appreciation. Appreciation. You know, this morning I just want to remind you of some of the Savior's words and trust that we'll be blessed this morning as we consider them. You know, I have come today and I'm just going to throw you out something to whet your appetite. And I'll not challenge you at the door tonight on the way out. But just this afternoon, just as the potatoes are starting to take hold on you and you're just about to go for 40 winks, just take out your Bible and see, can you find a few that I maybe have missed even this morning. You know, I just want to leave with you a couple of things that you can cling on to for these days. Days when things are so different. Days when we may feel lonely or even isolated. But we must remember that there is one who has promised to be at our elbow. One who has given us hope. One who has given us many promises in his word that we can grasp onto with both hands. No matter what the circumstances. No matter indeed how hopeless we think or feel the situation is even today. I want to leave you with seven types of words and seven phrases that I have selected used by the Savior in the Gospels. And I want to both challenge us and encourage us this morning, even in these days. Firstly, we're going to look at commanding words. Then we're going to look at calming words. Then we're going to look at comforting words, followed by challenging words. We'll see commissioning words. We'll then think about conquering words. And then finally, we're going to look at certain words. As I say this morning, I'm just going to glance over these quickly because I would know that you've broken into a sweat there thinking that he has 7 points and we're never going to be out today. But as I say, I'm just going to whet your appetite and you can add the meat to these for yourself. Commanding words is our first. You know, this morning, you can look these up if you wish. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 9, we see the Savior, he speaks. He comes and he finds Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. Matthew, or Levi, as he was known, this tax collector. You know, people that worked within that profession were generally dishonest. They were those that were out for their own gain. And you know, this, in my eye this morning, it highlights them as sinners in the sight of God. You know, dear friend, this morning, there are a few faces that I recognize here today. But there are many and they're not known to me today. And I just this morning want to take this commanding words where the Savior says, follow me. And I just want to apply it in the gospel this morning. You know, sometimes I think as I go preaching here and there. Sometimes I think we can see more unsaved in on a Sunday morning. And you know, maybe it's the fact that they come in on a Sunday morning because it's maybe a nice little message of encouragement. And you know, maybe the preacher's not just going to step on their toes the same as if I was to go out on the Lord's Day evening. Well, sinner friend found in the meeting this morning, I wonder as we gather here today, is there some under the sound of my voice? And as yet you don't have that knowledge of sins forgiven. You know, maybe over the last few weeks and months, as we've entered into lockdown, and as the pace of life has slowed down greatly, I wonder, dear friend, has God been speaking to you? I wonder, is that sin that you know that is within your life, I wonder, is it plucking at your conscience even this morning? You know, dear friend, very hard to live, I would believe, within Northern Ireland, and not to have a background of being brought up in a Christian home, or in some way influenced by the preaching of the gospel, whether it be in Sunday school, or in Good News Club, or in youth fellowship, or any of these places. And you know, I wonder this morning, dear sinner friend, has the Savior just been speaking to you? And just as we can follow through Scripture, and as we see the Savior call His disciples one by one, I wonder this morning, is He calling you today? And I wonder, are His words to you today, or they just follow me? Follow me. You know, dear friend, I don't need to come to Lurgan to tell you today that that sin that is within your life, it has closed heaven's door to you. And dear friend, if that sin is not dealt with, that sin will ultimately take you down to that awful place called hell. To be separated from God, to be separated from loved ones for all eternity. And maybe to find yourself there and to consider a time when just at the start of August, there was someone that came and they pleaded with me, "Will you not follow me today?" the Savior says. You know, dear friends, there's nothing I can do for you this morning. I can only point you to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to that one that came, that He indeed would go to Calvary's cross and there die in your stead and in mine. You know, we just have seen the Savior earlier in the chapter, in Matthew 9 and 6, it says this, "But ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Dear friend, today, this Savior that's saying, "Follow me," He's able to save you today if you'll only accept Him as your own and as your personal Savior. And if you'll only realize that He indeed has died on the cross to save you. And praise God, today we don't come to tell you concerning a dead Savior, but we come and tell you today concerning one who indeed has been raised from the dead, a living Savior. So friends, this morning, commanding words, "Follow me." We want to move on. This time we want to think of what the Savior said in Mark 4 and 13, and we want to think about calming words. Calming words. This time we're going to look at peace. Be still. The Savior had just taught the great multitude by the seaside. He just had brought before them the parable of the sower. And now that it has turned to evening, He says to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." You know, the Savior had things that needed to be done. The Savior knew that He needed to be there to come across Legion. He knew that He needed to be there that He might come across the path of that lady of 12 years illness with that issue of blood. He knew that He needed to pass over to the other side because Jairus' daughter He would raise from the dead. You know, dear friends, today there arose a great storm. And you know the little ship, it was filled with water. And as the Savior slept at the hinder part of the boat, what do the disciples come and what do they say? They say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? No, dear friends, this morning we see the Savior and he arises. You know, if you and I were out on a little boat today and a storm was to rise, you know, I don't know what we would be doing. Would we be trying to row into the wind? Would we be trying to go with the wind? You know, the Savior didn't get up to take control of the boat. What did the Savior do? The Savior, he speaks to the wind and to the sea. And he says, peace, be still. You know, dear friends, from time to time, I travel with work, finishing up in very exotic places like Scotland. And you know, there's many a time I have come down to Cairn Ryan and looked out at the sea and thought to myself, oh dear. You know, they tell me those that have sea legs, not like me, those that have sea legs would tell you that after a storm, it takes days for the sea to return to a state of calm. You know, dear friends, this morning, the Savior says, peace, be still. You know, it just didn't take the edge off it. What does it say? It tells us that there was a great calm. Child of God, this morning, is there something happening within your life? Is there something happening within your extended family today? And you know, with all the best will in the world, you're trying to take control of the ship. Dear friend, could you not take it to the Master this morning? No matter what this week may bring, can you not bring it to him? Bring it to the Master, the one who indeed today can say, peace be still, that even the wind and the sea obey him. Commanding words, follow me. Calming words, peace be still. We need to move quickly. Comforting words. Another storm scene in Matthew 14. This time, what does he say? He says, it is I, be not afraid. Here in this chapter, the Savior, he has just fed the 5,000 with the little lad's lunch, with those 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fish. You know, the disciples, with their unbelief and with their lack of faith, what does he do? He gives them those 12 full baskets that were taken up after it was done. What did the disciples want to do? They wanted to send them away. But you know, he sends the disciples over, ahead over to the other side. And you know, as they head over to the other side, we see that they enter into a storm. The fourth watch of the night. And you know, they think that there's a spirit coming towards them. But it's the Lord himself. You know, they've thrown all logic out the window, just like you and me. Our faith is the last thing that we'll try. We'll try everything else of our own merits. We'll have everybody on the job. But we never think to turn to the Lord. You know, again, we see Jesus, and he just speaks. He says, I wonder, possibly you find yourself in some sort of storm today. Again, would it not be better to take it to the Master? Maybe there's something on the horizon that's coming your way. You don't know what it is. You certainly don't think that you can cope with it. Dear friends, this morning the Savior says, it is I. Be not afraid. Has that calmed you this morning, these storm scenes? Have we brought you comforting words this morning? You know, if we had read further in the final chapter of Luke's Gospel, we'd have came across that verse in verse 15, where it says that Jesus himself drew near. There were those that were dismayed, and Jesus just drew near. This morning he says to you, friend, it is I. Be not afraid. We move on. We come in the same chapter. And this time we want to bring a word of challenge. What does he say to Peter? One word. He says, come. He says, come. You know, I wonder, as we look at Peter this morning, I wonder, is it a picture just of you and me today? I wonder, dear friend, this morning, saved by the grace of God, gathering week by week within the fellowship here, I wonder, has the Lord come to you? And I wonder, is he asking you to do something today? I wonder, is he asking you to do something today? And you know, it's just going to push you outside your comfort zone. It's just going to push the boundaries a wee bit. And I wonder, are you just like Peter? Are you standing in the boat today? And you can see the wind boisterous. You can see the water lapping up over the side of the boat. The Savior says, come. But you're not coming. You're not going to push yourself that little bit further. No, dear friend, the Savior never asked you to do something that you can't do. Wonder today, would you be like Peter? Will you throw your leg out over the side of the boat? And don't make the mistake that Peter made. When did he start to sink? He started to sink when he took his eyes off the Lord. Dear friend, today, just you get your leg through out over the side of the boat this morning. And move forward to whatever it is that the Lord is asking you to do. Some different sphere of service. It's time you were moving forward. You know, there's a little acrostic for the word faith. And it's just this, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Would that not be good enough for you this morning? Always remember, dear friend, that God doesn't call the able. He calls the available. I wonder, will you make yourself available to him today? You know, don't be like the spies that we read of in the Old Testament. Get your eyes taken off the wind and the waves. Get your eyes taken off the giants this morning. And get your eyes fixed upon the Lord. And just as he calls you today, just as he would say, come, I trust that this morning you might be challenged. And that you might indeed be found moving forward in the work of the Lord this morning. It brings me to my next point. Not challenging words come, but we see here commissioning words. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you say, oh, you know, Nigel, there's nothing that I could do for the Lord. You know, dear friend, today, I remember listening to Lawrence Kennedy some years back, and he spoke on that passage in Luke's gospel where it says, launch out into the deep. And Lawrence just brought it across like this. He just said, you know, he says, your beach is different from my beach. And your shore is different from my shore. There's people that you come across day and daily that I might never meet in my lifetime. Are you telling me this morning, dear friend, that on a one-to-one level, that you couldn't seek to reach the lost for the Savior. Those that you rub shoulders with every day. Maybe those in your locality you could maybe do some door-to-door work. Maybe within the church here there are opportunities for Sunday school teachers, Good News Club leaders, youth leaders. You know, I find it hard to believe that you could tell me in truth this morning that there's nothing that you could do. You know, maybe you're not long saved. Maybe Colin or some of the other men here have approached you about getting up to give a word of testimony. You know, maybe you're better blessed than me and you have a lovely voice. Are you being called to do a bit of singing? Or maybe you've been asked, would you share a little word with the boys and girls? I might add, which a brother I'm sure will agree with me, can be the hardest task within the church. Especially when you get to my age, I'm not going to include anybody else. But you know, you become, as your kids grow older, you become so out of touch with things that are now the norm. But dear friends, this morning, speaking to the boys and girls, sharing a word at the midweek meeting, preaching on the gospel on the Lord's Day evening, there are so many things. Dear friends, today, commissioning words are these. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, I'm not telling you today to get on a plane and go to the far side of the world. It might be an issue at the minute, to be fair, but I can't remember where I was, but recently I told somebody this. If you have an exercise about reaching the lost when you go home after the meeting today, when you put the key into the front door, before you turn it, just turn round. Put your back to the front door and look 180 degrees as far as you can see. And come you back tonight and challenge me and tell me that there's not a work for you to do, even within your own locality. You know, is there anything too much that he could ask us to do? This one that has lifted us up out of that horrible pit and set our feet upon a rock. This one who indeed has redeemed us out of that slave market of sin with the drops of his own blood. You know, back in Genesis we read the words, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I want to challenge you this morning, and I just want to ask you this. Is there anything too much for me to do for the Lord? Give everything when he died upon the cross in our stead. You know, I want to read you a poem this morning very quickly. It says this: how far in service must I go? What sacrifices bring to God whose loving hands bestow each good and perfect thing? How much of time and thought should I devote to him who died? What is my debt to him and why? And how may I decide? It goes on in verse 2 to say, a measured service bound would be, a service mean and small. He did not ask how much from me. He gave himself his all. He did not ask how far to go. How far was not to say. What bound how far? I only know that he went all the way. Commissioning words. And dear friends, this morning, something to cheer our hearts. Conquering words today. John 19 and 30, the Savior cried in triumph, it is finished. You know, we can see the Savior in many situations where it looked like it was a lost cause. But he is able to show his real power. And he spoke conquering words on other occasions. We could think in Luke 7 and 14, as that widow of Nain would come out with her son that had died. What did the Savior say? He says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. We turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. We see there Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. The Savior said, "Maid, arise." Maybe a better known one. In John 11, as he says, "Lazarus, come forth." But you know, dear friends, there never was a greater cry. Never a more triumphant cry came from the Savior as when he hung upon that cross, nailed by the hands and by the feet. And as he cried in triumph, "It is finished." The work was complete. His suffering was done. You know, dear friends, because of those words this morning, surely we can say in truth that there's a way back to God this morning, dear sinner friend, a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is opened and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you'll begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. I wonder this morning, dear sinner friend, would that be enough? Would you just rest your all upon him even today? Finally, we've seen commanding words, "Follow me." Calming words, "Peace be still." Comforting words, "It is I, be not afraid." Challenging words, he says, "Come." Commissioning words, "We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel." Conquering words, "He has cried, it is finished." You know, dear friends, today, I'd say I've said it from this pulpit before. There's a bright blue sky outside today. I wonder, will it be today that we'll rise to meet him in the air? Certain words, what does the Savior say? John 14 and 3, "I will come again." You know, it was J.C. Stern that said, "God assures us of a future that is better than our past." You know, child of God, this morning, as we finish our remarks, no matter what storm, as we've already thought about, that you're in, no matter what this week that we've entered upon may bring, not only, dear friends, today have we saw this morning one who promises to be at our side. One who has promised to meet our every need. But indeed, dear friends, today we have that blessed hope. Doesn't Titus remind us of it? Looking for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, we may not even be here tonight for the preaching of the gospel. Or even this afternoon, even before I close the meeting in prayer, the Savior could come. And what does that well-known passage remind us? In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says that we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You know, it's not a hope like what the world has. It's not the fact that you maybe hope to be back to the meeting tonight. Dear friends, it's sure and it's certain. Just as the Savior says, "I go to prepare a place for you." He has been to Calvary. He says, "I will come again." I trust this morning that God will bless these thoughts to our heart. I've been longer than I intended to be. But dear friends, today I trust that you'll be like those of old. And that today, as we separate the one from the other, that as you go, that you will indeed remember his words. We can remember his wounds. We shortly will remember his work as he was found upon Calvary's cross. Dear friends, today, dear sinner friend, especially remember those commanding words. The Savior would plead with you to follow me. Christian friends, this morning, those calming words, "Peace be still," Those comforting words that as I be not afraid. Challenging words, is he still saying, come this morning? Commissioning words, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Conquering words, praise God today for a finished work. Praise God we can come back tonight, God willing, and we can sound aloud the wondrous story. Jesus died upon the tree. Praise God today for those certain words that the Savior says, I will come again. We trust indeed that God will bless his word to our hearts. We'll just close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence another time today, and we do indeed come in and through the Savior's name, and we give thee thanks for the blessing that has been ours today to be gathered in this place. We thank thee, our Father, for each and every head bowed in thy presence just now. And we know, our Father, that as our faces differ, so do our needs. And although maybe there are those in today and they look fine from the outside, maybe, our Father, inside they're in turmoil. And our Father, we just pray that as thy word has been open and read today, we just indeed ask, our Father, that thou would bless it to each and every one that is gathered with us this morning, and indeed those that are listening in online as well. So, our Father, we just commend ourselves to thee. Pray, our Father, now that as we would separate the one from the other, that thou would take us each to our homes in safety. For we do indeed ask it in our Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen.